Pastor Jeff. I'm one of the pastors here. I just want to say that it's good to be here today. I love Family and Friends Sunday, and I'm looking forward to opening God's Word with you all today and hanging out afterwards and enjoying some good food and some time together. And so don't forget, you know, the challenge is up. Pastor Charles is ready to meet anybody in badminton out there. And so you just got to make sure that you get to him to make it fair. Can't run around too much. But, man, it's going to be a good time. Man, I hope you guys can hang around from that. And so
we're really glad that you're here this morning. If you're a guest, we really do hope that you feel welcomed and encouraged today. And remember, we've got a gift for you at the back table. Am I echoing out there a little bit? Y'all only want to hear me once, don't you? You don't want to hear it like two or three times. So, hey, as a church family, we like to walk through books of the Bible so that we don't miss what God has for us. We're currently walking through the book of Colossians together, but we're taking 1 week off from that study to look at a passage today that I've been looking forward to for some time. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them with me to Luke chapter 19. If you need a Bible, we've got ushers that are ready to give you one. There's some at the back table. And so just lift your hand up or you can go and grab one. But we've got Bibles for you that we would love for you to take with you. But Luke is one of the four books in the Bible known as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they focus on the life and the ministry of Jesus. They show us why Jesus came and how he loved and how he served. And also in these four books, we get to see the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 19, a moment in Jesus' life that comes before he gets to the cross. He's on his way to the cross. In fact, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem where he will suffer and die and rise again. But he passes through a town called Jericho. And this is where we see one of the most well-known stories, one of the most recognized moments in Luke where Jesus meets a man named Zacchaeus. If you grew up in the church or maybe you just heard stories from the Bible in your home, you might be familiar with the children's song that tells the story, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was he, right? He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to. All right, some of you guys need to learn that. But we're not going to finish it because I just wanted to like sit in your head and sing it the rest of the day. But that's a good song. It's a great story to be familiar with about a wee little man. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit in the sycamore tree. But this passage really has some really good truth for us today, church. Because in this story, we see the mission of Jesus. We see his love and we see the life that he's called us to, the life that he has for each and every one of us. And so we're going to look at this passage in God's Word and see what happens when Jesus steps into and changes the life of a man named Zacchaeus. If you're able, church, just to honor God in the reading of his Word, would you stand with me? And we're going to read Luke chapter 19. You guys follow along as I read out loud this morning. But leading up to this point, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He had just had an interaction with religious leaders, with a rich young ruler. And then right before Luke chapter 19, Jesus healed a blind man who called on to him. And then in Luke 1, here's what it says. It says, he, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. So he quickly came down and welcomed Jesus joyfully. And all who saw it began to complain, he's gone to stay with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, Lord, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Verse 9, today salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, which is Jesus, has come to seek and to save the lost. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word today, as we read through this and see the story and see the interaction and see the change, God, I pray, Lord, that you would be in charge. There are people here that are saved. There's probably people here that don't know Jesus. God, we're so glad that everybody is here. And they're here on purpose because you wanted them here. God, those that are online, we're grateful for them as well. God, would you do a work in our hearts today? Help us set aside anything that would distract us from hearing from you today. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Before we walk or look at verse 1, I want to cheat just a little bit and look to the end of this passage. As an adult, I enjoy reading. I don't really enjoy reading for fun. My wife does. She's like, oh, this is a good book. And I'm like, what are you learning from it? She's like, it's just to have fun, Jeff. And I said, "That's why do you do that, right? But I like to read to learn, right? That's what I like to read. But when I was a kid in school, not so much. Anybody else with me? Right? Young people, don't raise your hand right now, okay? Like, young people, it's good to read. You should read. But I was always tempted in school to read a bit of the book so that I could read the introduction a little bit and then maybe a little bit of the end. But then I just wanted to jump ahead to the good stuff. And for me, the good stuff was the end of the book, right? When it says the end. Anybody else with me? Young people, don't raise your hand. Okay, all right, a couple of you, right? But in this case, if we jump, my wife's a teacher, and she's like, Jeff, what did you just say in front of people that may be my students, right? But if we jump to the end of this particular story, we get to see the best part. We get to see the theme, not just for this story, but for the whole book of Luke. We get to see the mission of Jesus. Just for a second, let's look to verse 10. We're going to come back to it, but here's what Jesus says. He says, for the Son of Man, this is a title he has for himself, for Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. Jesus has come, church, to seek and to save the lost. And it's important for us to look ahead to this statement because it really describes what Jesus is doing here in this story. Here in Luke 19, even as he walks towards the cross, Jesus has come to Jericho to seek and to find the lost, and not just find them, but to save them and change their lives. When Jesus speaks of the lost, he's not talking about a man walking around Fry's grocery store with the list that his wife gave him. Amen, church, right? He's talking about those who are lost spiritually and eternally. The Bible says that because of our sin, we are lost and we're separated from God, both now and for eternity. But God so loves us, right? Jesus so loves us. He knows we're lost without him. He knows we're separated from him. And so he came to find us, to rescue us from our lostness and sin. In fact, it's not just Jesus's mission. It's who he is. Jesus says of himself in John 14:6, he says, I am the way. I'm the life, or I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Church, when we're lost, it's really good when we find our way, right? And in this case, Jesus is the way. It's funny, in life, no one really likes to admit that they're lost. There are probably some weirdos in here that don't mind admitting if they're lost, right? But I think most people don't like admitting that we're lost. We don't like to appear like we don't have control. We don't like to look like we don't know what we're doing or where we're going. But the same is true for us spiritually. We really don't like to admit that we're lost, but without Jesus, that's what we are. Right? And then not only did Jesus come to seek the lost and show them the way, but to save us from our sins and to bring us into his family. And that's the two truths that are really going to guide us today as we walk through this passage. We'll see Jesus seek the lost in a very big way, but also save the lost. And so let's dive into verse 1. Here's what Luke says. He says, he, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. Luke is just setting the stage for us. Jesus is traveling through Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Why is he going to Jerusalem? Because that's where the cross is going to be. Jesus told his disciples many times, just for example, Matthew 16:21, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to do what? To go to Jerusalem. Why? To suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, but be raised on the third day. It was in Jerusalem where Jesus would give his life for you and me on the cross, but not stay dead. He would rise again. And he's on his way there, and he travels through Jericho, and the streets are lined with people. Right? Anybody been to a parade or you've been to Disney and they have the parade come through and everybody lines up? I remember years ago, I think I was 18 or 19 years old, and I was in Kansas City having dinner with a friend in a certain part of town, and this road that we were on was a very well-traveled road, right? And I didn't know this was happening, but people said, hey, the president's coming, right? Not to the restaurant, but he was going to be driving down that road. And so he's about to drive through and pass right by us. And so the street was just lined with people. They wanted to see the president, right? And all we really saw was the motorcade, right? And the tinted out black windows, because they don't really want people to see him. But everybody was there because they wanted to see the president. And on this street, you had people that were lined up. You had the taller people where? In the back, right? And they allowed the shorter people and the children to stand up front. I think it's called like parade etiquette, right? And so that's what's happening here. There are people lining up along the road because they want to see Jesus. They want to see him. They want to hear him teach. Some may have been healed by him. Maybe they hoped that he would do a miracle. They probably wanted to see if Jesus would gather a crowd and teach them a parable. And being that Jesus was so well known, it would have made sense to them if Jesus would go and meet with some of the religious leaders there. It would have made sense if Jesus stopped and sat down and chatted with the rich people. Or maybe if he had a photo op with the popular people of Jericho. But Jesus, as he passes through, Jesus makes a stop and he visits with a very well-known man. But quite possibly the most hated man in all of Jericho. Look at verse 2. As Jesus walks through, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So Luke introduces us to this man, Zacchaeus, and he tells us that he's a tax collector, right? He's a tax collector, and this is really important information. This is not just, hey, by the way, he's a tax collector, because a person's name and their occupation tells us a lot about who they are. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And in their day, tax collectors were known as traitors, right? They were not like church. They were individuals who turned their back on their own people. Why? For power and for money. Tax collectors were immoral and corrupt people. You see, they were responsible for collecting the taxes on behalf of Rome. But what happened with many, or maybe all of the tax collectors, is they would take more money than was actually required. Or they would add higher interest amounts to pad their own pockets. And there was nothing that the people could do about it, right? Because they were doing it for the Romans. And so everyone hated these tax collectors. They were lumped in with the worst people, right? If you were talking about bad people that you should avoid, right? It was that you should avoid known sinners and you should avoid tax collectors. They're cheaters. They're thieves. They abused their power. They took advantage of their own people at whatever cost. And many of the people here, they didn't even recognize tax collectors as humans. They would look at them and say, you are so dirty. You're so sinful. You're not even human. They looked at them often as animals. And here's the thing. This picture of tax collectors is not an exaggeration. They were truly hated this much. But the people had to deal with them due to the Romans. And it's important that we get a good understanding of who Zacchaeus really is and how others felt about him, so that we see and we understand what it means when Jesus comes into town and meets him. But Luke doesn't stop there with Zacchaeus. He tells us something else about old Zac. He says in verse 2 that he was a chief tax collector, right? He's the ringleader of the traitors, right? He's the boss of these sinful people and these thieves. And Luke tells us that he's rich. And if you look at the Greek word for that word for rich, it actually means that he's abundantly wealthy. He had acquired most or a lot of that wealth by taking unjustly from other people. He had a ton of money, but he didn't have many friends. And we'll see that lived out here in a minute. We come to verse 3. He, Zacchaeus, was trying to see who Jesus was. But he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So remember, Jesus is coming in. The crowds have lined up. Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus. And Luke tells us that Zac is a short man. Historians tell us that to be classified as a short man in their culture, in their region, meant that you were quite short. Some would suggest that Zac was 5 feet or less tall. Is that proper English? 5 feet or tall? 5 feet tall? I don't know. He's short, y'all. Like, he's 5 feet or less. And so he's short, and he's surrounded by a crowd of people who hated him. And so while the children and short people would have normally been allowed up front, Zacchaeus wasn't allowed. They had no desire to help this man who was taking so much from them. But the good news is that this man wanted to see Jesus. We don't know why. We don't know why he wanted to see Jesus. You would think that a known sinner might want to hide when the Lord's coming through town. But he wanted to see Jesus. Maybe people heard of the healings. Maybe Zac had heard of the healings that Jesus had done. Maybe he heard about the miracles, right? Maybe Zacchaeus heard how Jesus called a man named Matthew, who was also a tax collector. Maybe he heard that Jesus radically changed Matthew's life. Or maybe it was the Lord who had been preparing Zacchaeus' heart for that exact moment, for that encounter with Jesus. It's always amazing to me when I hear people talk about when they give their life to Jesus, when they call on Jesus to save me. I often hear them talk about how they could look back and see that God was at work in their life. And so maybe, I would suggest definitely, God had been preparing Zacchaeus for this moment. But because he's a short man and a hated man, he's unable to get a view. But look at how Zacchaeus responds, church. In verse 4, so running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. Now, this might not seem too important, but this verse shows us really how bad, how desperate Zacchaeus was to see Jesus. You see, in their culture, it was undignified for a grown man, especially a rich man, to run. Just not something men did in their culture. It didn't happen outside of an emergency. And it was also especially unfitting for a man of his wealth and position to climb a tree like a child would. I remember climbing tall trees in Missouri growing up, like super tall trees. We're looking over the houses and stuff. Anybody else do that? Like climb trees when you were kids, right? I don't do that anymore, right? I'm a little smarter than that now. But these sycamore trees were really made for climbing. There's a couple pictures that they'll show you. But these sycamore trees that are still growing in that region today, you can see how easy it would be for even this short man or for a child to climb. But by running and climbing this tree, Zacchaeus shows us, I'm desperate to see Jesus. I desire to see Jesus. To Zacchaeus, it was important enough to not worry about what others thought about him when they saw him run and climb. And so he ran and climbed. And church, if you're here today, if you're not a Christian today, I'd encourage you to see Jesus for who he truly is. I'd encourage you to keep seeking and not let anybody or anything get in your way of seeing and knowing Jesus. For old Zacchaeus here, it was people, probably many religious people, who were keeping him from seeing Jesus. Maybe you've met a Christian or a religious person who didn't treat you the best, and so you didn't have a desire to see Jesus. Maybe you look at your own life and your sin and the guilt that you carry, and maybe that keeps you from seeing Jesus or even realizing that Jesus wants to see and meet you. Zacchaeus probably had both of these things, people keeping him and also his own actions and own sins that would have kept him from seeking Jesus. Maybe you have entirely another reason, but I'd encourage you to find your sycamore tree so that you can truly see who Jesus is and the life that he has for you. Let me tell you this, if you're new to Authentic Life, as followers of Jesus, you're not going to find a perfect person here. But you're going to find a lot of people that want to love you and point you to the Savior who loves you more than you could ever imagine. But notice that Zacchaeus is willing to remove any obstacle that might be in his way so that he can see Jesus. Church, he set his pride down. He didn't care about what others thought. He didn't let his guilt or grief or anything else get in his way. He just wanted to see Jesus. So let's see what happens in verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. And so as he's traveling on this road, Jesus looks up, he sees Zacchaeus, and he calls him by name, church. This is so good. We can just read through this and not understand the importance of this. Remember, Jesus came to what? To seek and to save the lost. And he is seeking Zacchaeus. He sees Zacchaeus and he calls him by name. The Bible says in John 3:16, you may know this verse very well, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, and whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting or eternal life." So we see that Jesus came because he loves the world. He loves all of us. Jesus came for all of us, but throughout his ministry, it's important to know that it's not just a general call. It's a personal call, church, right? Jesus shows us that he came to you and to me, to all of us personally. He did come for the world, but Jesus wants you to know today that he came for you. He came for Zacchaeus. He came personally. Truth number one on the back of your notes is this: Jesus did come to seek the lost, and he seeks us personally and intimately. Jesus isn't just standing up on a cloud and saying, "Hey, if y'all want to come, come over this way, line up," right? No, no, no. It's a personal call. We saw this when Jesus went to Matthew and called him to follow him. We saw this when Jesus went to Peter and Andrew and James and John and called them. Jesus goes to a sinful and rejected woman at the well and he calls her to follow him. He sits down with Nicodemus, the religious leader, over and over again. We see Jesus give this intimate and personal invitation to follow him. People of all different types of people, church, different places, different backgrounds. He's a personal God, church. He cares about Zacchaeus. He cares about you. He cares about me personally. And it might not seem like a big deal when Jesus says his name, but in their culture, your name carried a lot of meaning. When you used a name, you weren't just saying their name. You were saying who they were. When the name Zacchaeus was spoken in Jericho, people would automatically think about the sinful, hated tax collector. When Jesus calls out Zacchaeus, he knows all about Zacchaeus. He knows that little Zac has a past, right? He knows that Zac is hated. He knows that Zacchaeus was a traitor and that he turned his back on God's people. Jesus knows that Zac stole from people and used his position to hurt people. Jesus also knows that Zacchaeus is a sinner in need of a Savior. He also knows that Zacchaeus has very few people who love him and even want to be around him. He knows that Zacchaeus spiritually and eternally is lost and that he's separated from God. And so when Jesus says his name, he says, "Zacchaeus, I know everything about you." And Jesus knows that while he came to seek and save everyone, he came for Zacchaeus personally. The second truth that we see in verse 5 is this: Jesus knows everything about us and he still loves us. That's a really good truth this morning. That's some good news for somebody here this morning that needed to hear it. Jesus knows my past. He knows my sin, and he still loves me. Jesus knows every single thing about you. He knows what nobody else knows about you. He knows what you've hidden in the back closet in your heart, and he still loves you. He knows your hurt. He knows your loneliness. He knows of your depression or your anxiety. He knows your fears. He knows your faults. He knows it all, and he says, "I love you." Let that sit with you for a second. Sometimes we don't tell people all about who we are because we want them to love us. But Jesus already knows, and he still loves us. When Jesus says Zacchaeus' name, Jesus is saying, "Zac, I know it all. I still see you. I'm still coming to you personally." Here's something that I believe is true for everyone, and it's because this is how God created us. Church, we were made, we were created to be known. We were made to be in relationships with God and with other people. We were made to love and to be loved. And that's what Jesus is showing us here. Jesus knows everything there is to know about Zac, and he still loves him. This is our Savior, friends, right? This is who Jesus, or this is who came for us. This is Jesus. Look back to verse 5 again. Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, hurry. and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house." Jesus says, "Let's go, man." If he's in middle school today, he says, "Hurry down, bruh." Right? My wife found out this week that she's bruh, you know, because we got a middle schooler. Right? Right, bruh? She loves it. She loves it. Right? But he's like, "Bruh, come on." Right? We need to go to your house today. Not tomorrow. Not later today. Let's go right now. When Jesus seeks the lost, the next truth that we see here is that he does it with urgency, church. He calls Zacchaeus to follow him with urgency, and he calls you and I to follow him with urgency. Here's the great thing about Jesus. Unlike us, Jesus has the ability to look straight into your heart. We see the outside of people. We see what you let us see. But Jesus sees your heart, and we couldn't hide it from him if we wanted to. He sees Zacchaeus, and he says, "You. God is at work in your life. I know that you have lived a life believing that money and power is what you need, but what you actually need is me, a Savior who loves you and came for you, a Savior who sees you and still loves you." And Jesus just invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house here. But he does it for a reason. It was to show Zacchaeus something, but it was also for the crowd to see. You see, in their culture, to go into someone's home and to stay with them, or even just to have a meal with them, it carried meaning. It meant that you received them. It meant that you cared about them, that you were having fellowship with them. Jesus was inviting Zacchaeus to follow him, to have fellowship with him. Jesus is inviting Zacchaeus into a relationship with him. And Jesus says, "We've got to go now." I think this is good for us to hear, church. Jesus is showing us that there should be an urgency. If you're saved here today, please don't miss this. There should be an urgency when it comes to sharing Jesus with others. You live where you live, you work where you work, you play where you play, because that's where God wants you. And he's going to place people around you that I or other people will never come into contact with. And we have a responsibility to point them to the only one that can change their life. And Jesus is showing us, let's have urgency. Right? Jesus is reminding us, this life is temporary. The Bible says that our life is like a vapor compared to eternity. Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and says, "I see your heart. I see that money and power sit on your throne. I see that that's what you've been pursuing. But Zac, you know that none of those things are fulfilling. What are you pursuing today, church? What is sitting on the throne of your heart? What is leading you? Because the things of this world will always leave you wanting more. I've never met a rich person that says, 'I'm done.'" Right? They want more. Right? Jesus says, don't waste another minute chasing after money or other things. It's time to chase after me, Zacchaeus, to follow me and to be with me. And look at how Zac responds to Jesus in verse 6. So he, what's that word, church? Quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, "Jesus has gone to stay with a sinful man." Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. He calls you by name. And he says, "Come to me, trust in me, I can save you." Zacchaeus knew in that moment that Jesus cared for him and loved him in a way that he's never been loved, and he was inviting him into fellowship with him. And look at his response. He came down quickly. Zacchaeus didn't care what anyone else around him thought in that moment. He said, "I'm all in." He knew that with Jesus, he was fully known and still fully loved. I believe in that moment, he knew that money would never fill him, possessions would never satisfy him, the things of this world would never satisfy him, but Jesus will. But look at these religious people. Look at this crowd and how they respond. They're complaining that Jesus would welcome in a sinner. They're complaining that Jesus would go into the house of a thief, a cheat, and a tax collector. Instead of rejoicing that a life might be changed, they're complaining. they missed the reality that Jesus could change this man's life. Let me tell you today, if you're not following Jesus, don't worry about the complainers. Don't worry about the pointing fingers around you. You need to understand today that your life matters and your eternity matters. This world isn't it. There's more. There's an eternity. Your eternity matters. The Lord and Savior who created you, by the way, He sees you. He knows everything about you and He loves you. And so Zacchaeus is teaching us that we should not only tell people about Jesus with urgency, but that we should respond to Jesus with urgency. If you're not saved today, man, respond to Jesus with urgency. Zac was seen, he was known, he was loved in that moment, and he was welcomed into fellowship, into a relationship with Jesus, and that moment would change his life and it would change his eternity. Can you imagine being Zacchaeus here? Now, we don't know about Zacchaeus. We don't know if he had a family. We don't know if he had neighbors, right? We don't know if he had kids or not. But Zacchaeus was a hated man. And here he is walking through the neighborhood with Jesus to his house. And I'm just picturing, as I'm writing this, I'm just picturing him being married. And he walks into his house. And he's trying to explain to his wife or his kids or his neighbors how all this happened. Right, he knocks on the door to give his wife a little heads up. Says, honey, I'm home. I've got a guest with me. Right? He goes inside and tries to explain how he just wanted to see Jesus. And so he ran and he found this tree and he climbed up this tree. And they're probably saying, Zac, man, grown men don't run around like that. Right? And why were you climbing a tree like a child? And he'd say, man, I needed to see Jesus, but he saw me and he called me. And so let's fire up the smoker and get some Kansas City barbecue going, church. Right? Because when Jesus came and found me and invited me to follow him, church, when Jesus said, I must go to your house today, there's a reminder that if you're not saved, Jesus doesn't want you to wait. He wants to save you today. He wants to save you today. I've heard many people say so many times, thanks for that, and I believe in Jesus, but I need to clean up my life first. I need to get my life right. I need to change some things. But Jesus doesn't say, hey, Zac, go and get your life right. Zac, stop cheating and stealing and stabbing people in the back, and then I'll come over to you. He doesn't say, clean up your life and look presentable, and then I'll invite you to hang out with me. Jesus says, today, right now, bruh. Right? Jesus saw and invited him, and Zac responds and follows Jesus. And look what happened. Look at what Jesus says to Zacchaeus. I'm going to skip ahead. I'm going to come back to verse 8, but I want us to look at verse 9 because Jesus tells us what has happened. But Jesus says in verse 9, today, we've heard today before, haven't we? Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, Jesus saying, I have come to seek and to save the lost. First, it was today, I want you to respond. Today, I want you to stop caring about what other people think about you. Today, I want you to put aside money or possessions or the things of this world. Today, I want you to put down your pride. Today, I want you to follow me and trust in me. Today, I want to save you from all of your sins. Today, I want to be the Lord of your life. And then Zacchaeus responds, and Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. I came to seek and to save you. And the same calling is for you and me. Jesus came to seek and to save you and me and to offer us the kind of life that this world never can. This world is full of temptations that said you should have more sex, you should look at more porn, you should go after more money, you should go after that next job, you should go after the bigger house and the bigger car and everything this world has to offer. But we know in our heart that none of that will ever satisfy us. We're left wanting more. And Jesus said, I can offer you the kind of life that this world never can. This is a great time, if you're saved, to remember that moment when you surrendered your life to Jesus. Remember that day that his salvation came to you. If you're not saved today, Jesus, the Lord and Savior that came for all, he came to seek and to save you. And that can happen today. Look back to verse 8 with me to see what Jesus does in his life. It says, but Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Don't miss this. This was the man who chose money over people, who chose power over people, who lined his pockets mostly by stealing from other people. This is a known sinner, a known cheater, a known backstabber, a man that was hated by most people. But Jesus sees him. Jesus knows his past. Jesus knows his sin. He knows that he's hated. He knows everything about Zacchaeus, and he still loves him. And all the things are true for us today, church. He sees you. He knows everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly, the things you've got in that back cabinet. He sees it. And he still loves you. He knows everything and he loves us. But there's something else that Jesus teaches us here. He came to seek and to save us. And Jesus loves us where we are, but he doesn't leave us there. Jesus loves you where you are right now. But he's not going to leave you there. Jesus isn't hanging out with these tax collectors so you can high five them and learn how to steal money from people. Right? Jesus doesn't visit with sinners because he approves of their sin. Jesus calls them into a new life with him. He loves them where they are, but then he calls them to say, you need to change. You need to go and live the life that I created you to live. A life where we trust in Jesus and we're loved by Jesus and where we love Jesus and we follow and obey Jesus. Why? Not because he wants to ruin our life, but because he has the life that we were made to live. He calls us to live the life that we were created to live. When he saves us, church, Jesus changes us. We see that here in verse 8. Jesus changed Zacchaeus' heart. He went from being a thief and cheater to being a just man and a generous man toward other people. We've seen politicians for years trying to bring about the change that only Jesus can do. There's no law, there's no policy, there's no platform that is going to change your life like Jesus can. Only Jesus can change our hearts like this. We see the generosity in Zacchaeus when he says, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And then we see him act justly towards others when he says, hey, if I extorted anything from anyone, I'm going to pay it back four times. Now, that's a really big deal, and here's why. In the Jewish law, if a person was found guilty of stealing or of fraud, or if they admitted to it, the law required that one-fifth was to be paid back in restitution. But Zacchaeus knew at that moment that he was wrong and said, I'm going to make this right, and I'm going to go above and beyond. Why? Because Jesus changed his heart. Because Jesus gave him a new life. And Zacchaeus finally realized that riches, true riches, were not found in money. They're not found in possessions. They're not found in things of this world. They're found in knowing and belonging to Jesus. Church, we will always be tempted, if you're saved or not saved, we're always going to be tempted to try to be satisfied by our flesh and by the things of this world. But if we're honest, we'll admit that it leaves us wanting more. True satisfaction is found in knowing Jesus. And we see that here in Zacchaeus. When Jesus called him by name and invited him, Zac responds. Look what he does. So he quickly came down and welcomed Jesus joyfully. Zacchaeus is experiencing true joy in that moment. Power didn't fill that up. Money didn't fill it. He found joy because he found Jesus. He didn't find a religion. He didn't find anything else this world offers. He found Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came for you. He came for me personally. He came to save you, to give us a new life, to change us, and to give us real joy. If you're a Christian here today and maybe you're lacking in that, I would encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus and spend time with Jesus and have Jesus fill you up with that joy that only he can give you. If you already know Jesus and you belong to Jesus, rejoice and invite others to know him as well. Jeff talked about this before. We exist to connect people to Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, please hear this. He loves you. He came for you. And he sees you in that tree or whatever it is. He knows everything about you and he's saying your name. Come and follow me. I'll change you. I'll give you joy. You'll get to spend eternity with me.